Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Or if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn, Google, wherever you want, wherever you're listening to us, it's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, as you know. Got a fun show. We're already talking weird hijinks, and of course, I'm going to turn this around, the troublemaker here.
Hey.
Yes. Oh, here she is. Oh, you actually want to be on camera today.
Not really, okay. But I have no choice.
There she is. That's everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bach.
Hey, guys. Woo! How are you?
She's just telling us how she did the vegan whippets.
Yeah, it was by accident, but it was fun.
Well, we're going to talk about that because I'm still confused about the concept. Now, Julia Montgomery, who was supposed to be here, who was in Revenge of the Nerds, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she was ill this week. She will be on next week.
She will.
But we have the other guest that we're going to have, and mm-hmm. That way we get to talk to him more. Mm-hmm. He's got a fascinating story, as you'll find out. This guy over here.
Hello.
That's Jonathan David.
How's it going?
Comedian extraordinaire. Very right. funny, and his new one-man show, Signs, will be at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. That's going to be in June. We're going to talk all about it. You thought you had a dysfunctional childhood.
Oh.
Wait till you hear this guy's story.
All right.
But he's turned it into laughter. And also, we got a special guest in the studio. It's always great you bring, you know, if I ever am on a podcast, and I never have been on a podcast where I'm like some friend tags along,
mm-hmm.
I never insist that they come on the show. But you always bring friends and you insist they come on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you, come on the show. It's like, okay. And without clearing with me first or asking me or telling me. But this guy's cool. I like this guy. This is Brent.
Hello.
And what do you do?
Right now, I'm working for a porn agency.
Okay, well,
and
you could have cleared this ahead of time. When Julian canceled, he goes, oh, Brent works for a porn agency. He's going to be our other guest. I'm like, fine.
I just started. I've only been there for like a month now.
Okay.
And I work at a brewery on the weekends.
All right.
Yeah.
Sex and booze. Things.
Yeah.
It's a nice combination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
Thank you. And Hannah, before we get started.
Yes.
Even before the sponsors, we got to say very special. I'm going to turn this around. She's going to hate it, but. That's Morgan.
Happy birthday, Morgan.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday. She's turning dirty 30.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm putting the camera on, and I want people to know, even if you're listening, she has a podcast called Burst Your Bubble. And I highly recommend that if you're on our podcast, on Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever, you check out her podcast. She takes artifacts of arts, things that we know and love, and pokes holes in it, and tells us how fucked up and politically incorrect it really is.
I ruin things.
She ruins things. She bursts things bubbles. She did a number on 16 Candles. Last time, a lot of stuff about prom I didn't know about, the racist and sexist and weird history of that, and homophobic and everything else. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she has to do next. And you know what? Knowing our show, it's probably this show. So, but Hannah?
Yes.
Last week... Mm-hmm. We went to Doomie's Home Cooking.
We went to Doomie's. It was amazing, as always. Never a disappointment.
Everyone's favorite vegan restaurant. Now, mm-hmm. You're not vegan, Jonathan. That's obvious.
Well, I still love vegan cuisine.
Oh, good.
Well, you would love Doomie's Home Cooking, then.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going.
Yes. Yeah. Are you vegan, Brent?
No.
No. But you would love it anyway.
Love me some meat.
Oh, no. You would love it. Well, we got that. But no, but you would love this, too. You would love this, too. I had the wet... carne asada burrito.
Already into it.
It was delicious. And Hannah, you had the chili relleno.
Chili relleno, as always. Yes. Never disappoints, but I did have part of your burrito, and it was pretty good.
Yes, ooh. And we had... Morgan was with us. She had a couple tacos, I think. And
yeah.
Joy Villa mm-hmm. apparently is dieting, so she didn't have anything, right. Which is weird.
By the way, you look great.
All three of you do. So, but I had the big burrito. It was terrific. And, you know, they have a Mexican restaurant. They have also the regular restaurant where they have... Mm-hmm. Things like Philly cheesesteak, pulled pork, fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
They put a wood stick in the chicken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have deep fried Oreos. They got everything.
And now they just announced that they're having ice cream for this summer with a root beer float.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Vegan root beer floats. Go to 1253 Vine Street if you're in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to Culver City or Toronto, Canada
mm-hmm.
if you're there. Doomie's Home Cooking, Doomies. The guy's a genius. I don't know how he does it.
And tell them the Dark Mark Show sent you.
Tell them the Dark Mark Show sent you, and they will appreciate that.
Yeah.
And also, one more sponsor, real quick. Did you see the Audible post I posted this week?
I scanned through it, though. I was at a red light, so right. I didn't really get a chance to.
Because we're sponsored by Audible. If you go to www.audibletrial.com/DMS, once again, www.audibletrial.com/DMS, you get a free book and two free Audible originals, and you get a 30-day trial to Audible. So, see, they put a bunch of books that I think are geared for our audience, such as Nikki Sixx's The Heroin Diaries. That's on Audible. Mm-hmm. They got How to Control Codependent People. Anything you want. They've got all sorts. And now, of course, my phone's messing up. I know they have Corey Taylor from Slipknot has an autobiography. They've got all sorts of things. They've got great comedy albums by everybody. Jim Gaffigan. They've got Brody Stevens' last album. Oh, they've got Tig Notaro. They've got everybody except for Bill Cosby and Louis C.K. for obvious reasons. But you can get a free comedy album or two free Audible originals. The Audible originals that you can get include Bob Newhart has a show where he interviews comics. Have you heard that?
No.
It's great.
I love Bob Newhart.
They have an Audible original. They have two Audible originals, sci-fi books. One read by John Waters. The other by Zachary Quinto, who's in that new vampire Nosferatu show. So, and they got everything. They got a continuation of the Alien Saga with Rutger Hauer. You get two free Audible originals, one free book or comedy album, free 30-day trial. You cancel the next day, you still keep the books. You don't like one of the books, you trade it in for another one. You can't lose. Audibletrial.com/DMS. How many times I got to say it? I'm giving you something for free.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
take it.
Jonathan David is here.
Yes, sir.
There you are. Now, Jonathan, I've known you for a little bit. Actually, I really got to know you since I've been back in town. And where'd you grow up?
I grew up outside of Seattle, Washington.
Okay. With Olympia, or where'd you?
I grew up in a little town called Mukilteo, Washington.
Mukilteo, Washington.
Yeah,
wow.
Not Muckleshoot, where they have the casino. Mukilteo, where they have the lighthouse and a ferry.
Oh, so you lived in one of those towns.
Yeah.
The lighthouse ferry town. Wow.
Yeah,
because I remember like when grunge was big in Seattle. I don't remember this town being one of the big towns.
Well, actually, my older brothers they went to a different school district than me. They lived we moved like right when I had to go to high school, mm-hmm. and they went to the same high school as Lane Staley, lead singer of Alice in Chains.
Oh wow, mm-hmm. That's crazy. Did you ever meet Lane Staley?
No, but I met his drug dealer.
We're gonna get to that. I'm sure, yeah, that's a good reference. Or is that a good reference or not?
What, Lane Staley's drug dealer?
I'm Lane Staley's drug dealer.
Do you want me to talk about how I met Lane Staley's drug dealer?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's doing that right now.
So, surprising to everybody who ever meets me for the first time, I used to be a drug addict. And I was living in this heroin den.
Right.
Where I would do heroin with me and my heroin girlfriend and her friends.
Right.
And this one guy moved in for like a week. And he was tired of living in his van, and he would we let him stay because he would always have large amounts of heroin.
Wow!
So he told us a lot of different stories, and he actually was selling Lane Staley heroin all the way up until his death.
Wow!
Wow!
What an asshole!
Well, you know, Lane.
Yeah.
Lane went to rehab like 13 times.
Wow! Yeah, I heard like towards the end he was like. Missing teeth, was missing part of a leg. Like, he was pretty rough shape.
He weighed like, he was like 6'2" or something like that, and he weighed like 95 pounds.
Wow.
So he was not in good shape.
Right. Well, and for people that are actually listening and not seeing this, mm-hmm. the reason people are surprised is because you're a chubby guy like me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't chubby back then.
Oh, I would guess not.
I've since quit.
But... Oh, really? So because I was going to say, to be fat and a heroin addict, that's an achievement.
You can still do it.
Yeah, really?
Oh yeah. I mean,
see, I have some goals, and maybe I should reach for that.
No.
I don't know.
I'll put a stop to that.
I know the comedy thing's not going that great. The podcast thing, maybe I'd be the fat heroin addict. That'll be me.
Heroin's expensive. I mean, at first it's cheap, but after a while, when you really like want to get fucked up, it's really expensive.
Yeah. So, that's crazy. I can't even imagine you were that heavy into it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when did you try heroin? Since I guess this goes along with the Nikki Sixx. Go after this. You have your own heroin diaries. When did you try heroin for the first time? This is not how I wanted to start out the show.
Yeah,
by the way, but I was
like
curious.
To know.
your life is so fascinating. We can go just drop in on any point. It's fascinating.
I don't remember the exact year, but I'm guessing Probably 2009 or 2010. 2010, I think.
Okay. And just, I mean, I can't even, see, I'm so isolated from the drug scene, even being a comic. Mm-hmm. Other than smoking pot, I don't really, I've maybe seen people snort coke maybe five times in my life, and I've never seen anybody shoot heroin that I know of.
Well, I didn't go from, like, you know, just not doing drugs to just injecting heroin. There was a progression there.
I was going
to
say, so you smoke a pot, and then you kind of...
Well, I was smoking pot. I drank a lot. I actually really never did any, like, hard drugs at all. And then I was really depressed, met this new girl. She was super hot and really kinky, so I just was super into her.
Yeah.
And she liked doing pills, and she got me to do pills with her.
Okay.
And then
what kind of pills?
Any opiates. So we would parachute like painkillers, like Percocets or Vicodin. Mm. Parachute is when you crush them up and put them like in some kind of really thin paper, like a rolling paper, and then you drop them down so that when they hit your stomach, the paper dissolves and just hits you all at once.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were that advanced with the technique.
Oh, yeah. Then we would get like OxyContins, and then we would they have like a slow dissolve coat on the oxys back in the day, when they were still like crushable. So we would lick those off and rub them off on our shirts. And then we would take like a special kind of grinder, and we'd grind up the pill and snort it up because it'd be like really, really flaky.
I'm taking notes. Wow.
I am too.
Jeez.
The special grinder is actually it's a clamp for an automobile like tube.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
So there's little slits in there that are really sharp, and if you run something through it,
so you're like going to AutoZone to get drug paraphernalia?
Yeah, I'd go to AutoZone. I was 100% right. I would go to AutoZone. O'Reilly's heroin parts, and I would get my drugs parts there, and I would grind up these pills, and we would snort like a 80 milligram oxy, and just get really high, and like fuck all night, and it was great.
Yeah, well, because. But then you go from that to heroin where you're not fucking at all, I'm guessing.
Well, then we started smoking heroin.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. And then after a while, it's like, oh, this is kind of... I'm already doing heroin. Might as well try it once to see
what's you're already in Seattle. You might as well.
Yeah. I mean, all of my idols were like Kurt Cobain and Layne Staley.
Sure.
And, you know, just all these people who died from heroin.
Yeah.
Know, all the greats. So I was like, might as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried it one time. I was like, I'll just try this one time and see how it feels.
Right.
And so my girlfriend actually, like, she learned from the internet of all places.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Actually, she knew how to do it better because she learned from the internet and actually researched, whereas most people who, like, learned from somebody else didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
That's how she knew about parachuting and the
no, that's just
O'Reilly's.
She was just a huge fucking drug addict. Mm-hmm. She was, like, the queen
of drug addicts. But at least she was educated about it. Really wanted to. I mean, you know, most people are like, oh, just fucking take anything and shove it up my ass or whatever. She's like... No, let's do some research first.
I shove things up my ass, too. Like, you can put drugs up your butt. It's called looping.
Like cocaine. You get that blown up your ass, right?
No. So are you doing this to smuggle it or doing it to get the high?
Both.
Okay. How's the high when it's in your ass?
Well, like, if you can't find a vein, like, if you're trying to shoot up and you can't
find
a vein.
You got that to that point.
Like, you can either muscle it or you can put it up your butt.
Oh, like a booty bump.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Well, we're going to talk about booty bumps in a second.
But
what do you mean? What do you mean muscle? Like, put it in your muscle?
Yeah, intramuscular injection.
Okay.
So.
Like vaccinations and things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you have to do a lot more, and it takes a lot longer to hit you, and it's not anywhere near as fun as shooting up in your vein.
Right.
But
showing up your butt's got to be more fun.
I mean,
and showing up her butt's got to be a lot of fun, I would think.
I would put lots of things up her butt, but that's a totally different story.
Well, we're gonna get to that too. But so, like, when you're—I mean, you're like, do you ever parachute in the butt? Is that what it's, is that? Does that happen?
No, yeah. What I would do is I would mix it with like a solution and put it like in a syringe with no needle, and then lube that up and put it up in there, and then give myself a little injection.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
Fun times.
I mean, does it get in your system quicker? Because
it's not as quick as in your veins. In your veins,
does your ass get numb? Do your legs get numb?
No.
Okay. I didn't know this was going to be such an education today. This is all in your one man show, I'm hoping.
No, I don't go into that much detail. Like, yeah, this is how you get it in your butt.
Yeah, I mean, jeez. When I did my one-man show at the Fringe Festival, it was all about my butt, but that's just me. It's all about the butt, Brent. Now you're very fascinated by these stories. Now you said you work for porn now.
Yeah, I just started.
You just started. Now, mm-hmm. How did you get that job?
One of my best friends is a porn star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's his or her name?
Her name, Brookhaven.
I've heard that name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch a lot of porn. Jonathan, are you familiar?
I don't know any porn stars' names.
Brookhaven?
Sounds like a place where I have to live.
Yeah, no, I know that's where they got the name, but yeah, it sounds familiar. I don't know if it's because Hannah was telling me about her.
I was telling you about her one time.
Yeah.
When I met her, yeah.
Did I met her?
No, when I met her.
Oh, I was going to say, met a porn star and I forgot her, all right? So.
Hi, Brooke.
I'm going to look her up after this.
Yeah, we're all going to masturbate to you later, Brooke. Yeah. But,
not me.
Sure. Come on, just once.
No, I actually tried watching one of her videos and I couldn't.
Really?
I got to like the boobs coming up, and then I was like, no, I can't watch her do this.
You couldn't not concentrate on the guy?
No, I just couldn't see her.
It was gross.
It's like your
for
sister.
Him.
Yeah. She's like totally like my sister. I wouldn't want to watch my sister.
So you couldn't watch around it?
No, I couldn't. I tried.
Because that's what we do when Ron Jeremy's going at it. We all like watch around it.
I've never seen a Ron Jeremy film.
You
bullshit.
No, and I won't do it. I
bullshit.
Won't. I'm just going to know him as...
He's in every goddamn porno movie. How can you avoid
because
it?
Because I don't watch porn.
I don't
watch
either.
Erotica.
But
what's erotica? What do you
erotica
want?
Has a storyline and really, really good actors. Well,
I've seen movies of Ron Jeremy's storylines.
The first porno movie I ever rented, Ron Jeremy was in it. There was a storyline. It's called Merry Xmas. And it was the first one I ever rented by myself. It was recommended by
what was
a guy.
In the box?
No. It was that's a different one. No, it was Christmas, and Santa Claus's daughter goes around and fucks everybody. And
he's Santa Claus.
Yeah, and there's an elf.
Oh my god!
But Ron and the elf's like sitting there, like every time she's fucking somebody, he's like, fuck her in the ass, fuck her, and then. Like, then he gets into it, and Ron Jeremy just pops in, and he fucks Santa's daughter, because everybody does. So, he's been in, like, every porn movie I've seen for years.
I just don't get turned on by porn.
I don't either, sometimes.
I mean, I've seen a couple funny ones.
You know me, I masturbate to Lifetime movies. I like a story, too, but...
That's more like a cry in a masturbate Lifetime.
Right. But what's an erotic... What are you talking about?
Like a Richie diary?
I like to have something like a storyline where the guy...
Twilight is a storyline. You were just talking it out.
You take take some like Roman films and everything. What is that one?
Roman films.
Caligula. I like that. That's a great movie.
She likes Caligula's about, erotic?
She likes yes. movies about guys who make people eat shit.
I was gonna say. Have you seen Caligula?
Yes. I like
that's
it.
That's erotic?
I like it. It is. It's actually considered an erotic film.
No, it's not. It's considered
yes, it is. Google it.
I've seen it.
Boring as hell.
I like it. I paid attention.
I've
to the
seen
whole
it. There's a guy
line.
With two dicks. I've seen it. There's a guy with two dicks. There's a whole thing. You ever see Caligula?
I've never seen this.
Oh no, this came out in the 70s. I don't know how. I don't know where.
Isn't the guy from Saw in it? He's like the main what? Guy.
No. Malcolm McDowell from A Clockwork Orange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plays the Emperor Caligula.
Okay.
And this is in ancient Rome. Mm-hmm. Penthouse produced this movie. It came out in like 1979, 1980. Helen Mirren is in it.
Really?
Peter O'Toole's in it. Uh-huh. Like, they had Gore Vidal wrote the story. And what happened was, we're going to make an Oscar-winning porno movie. We're going to make a movie that has a lot of sex, but it's historically accurate and has great actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the guy who produced it, Bob Guccione from Penthouse, saw the rough cut and said, there's not enough sex, recut it so there's more fucking, and it was released and it was a bomb.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Like not the bomb, but a bomb.
No, not bomb. It was a bomb. It did not do well. It on home video, it's gotten a cult following for people to think it's an erotic masterpiece.
It's great. You Hannah. Have to watch it. It's like Spartacus. I think that's erotic.
Right.
300.
Ooh, that's good too. I like big.
So you guys like big muscular
guys.
Now we're gonna get into it. You like big muscular guys.
That's not true.
We were just talking about Taylor Lautner. And
a big muscular guy is gonna turn my head. Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
but. Not always. I like all kinds of guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. But we were talking about big muscular guys and Taylor Lautner and all that, and you were perking up.
Yeah, I did. Right.
Yeah, so no, we were also talking about poppers, and we want to explain what that is for Hannah, because she has no idea.
You know what poppers is.
Well, I know now, but what is it about our audience? Do you guys know what poppers are?
Oh, they do. They know.
Yeah, it's so gay guys usually use it to, they sniff it,
mm-hmm.
and then when they sniff it, you get like a high off of it. Mm. So I actually don't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it, but I use it when I'm getting a blowjob.
Okay.
So when I get a blowjob, it makes the like the feeling more sensational.
Really?
More intense. Yeah.
Because I was gonna say don't limit it. I know it's you know it's predominantly a gay thing, but I'm sure straight guys do it.
Yeah, Hunter S. Thompson would do it.
Did he?
Yeah, when he would get like too fucked up, he would do a popper to like help kind of wake up. I remember the name of it. It's amyl nitrate. That's the
okay.
chemical.
I think other guests might be here.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. do a popper, tickle your butt. It's
oh, yeah. Yes. Rotten Kitty's in here. Just as we were talking about poppers. yeah. Our other guest is here.
Hannah, have you ever seen Quills?
Yes. Yeah. I did years ago with a Joaquin
Phoenix. Oh, come on
Phoenix.
In. Come on in. Rotten yes. Kitty.
Hi.
Yes. You, know, you can sit wherever you like.
Yes.
Wherever you would like. The camera swivels around.
Awesome.
Yes.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm not even breathing hard.
Yes. I don't know if you want to grab the mic or you want... this is Rotten Kitty, by the way.
Hi.
This is the most disorganized show ever already. I have like all these... I have all these things I was going to talk to Jonathan about, and then we started talking about...
Buttholes.
Oh.
Heroin.
Okay.
Yeah, you came in just...
I know, I always...
You came in just in time. You want to get a little closer to the mic?
Okay.
You're always so shy.
I really am.
But this
am.
Is Rotten Kitty, a burlesque dancer. You've been a model. You've been a designer. And now...
Well, now, when you put it that way, it sounds like I'm a total failure at everything.
Not at all. No. That, I'm saying you've been a success at all those things.
No, because if I were, then we wouldn't have to list them all off. Everybody would already know this.
Now you're doing comedy.
Well, I have for years, but I guess now I'm more comfortable with actually saying I'm a comedian.
Okay.
When usually people will ask, comedian. Usually you say, no, you're not comfortable with it. Thank you. Cheers.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Really? Because they ask me, they're like, are you funny? I'm like, no, I'm not funny. I'm just, yeah.
No, I never. If somebody asks, are you funny, that's so subjective. So I usually say, I'm an acquired taste.
Tell me a joke. No.
I hate that.
But here's the thing. People that tell me they're doing comedy, and Jonathan backed me up on this. Mm-hmm. 99 out of 100 people.
Cheers, by the way.
Yes, cheers. Cheers.
Salute.
Thank you.
Cheers,
thank you. Lovely.
99 out of 100 people tell me they're doing comedy. I'm like, or they want to start comedy, and they ask my advice. I'm sure mm-hmm. you get this too.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them, my first question is, are you funny?
Well.
And you know how, you know, I would say probably 60% are like, I don't know. Or, no, but I'll learn, you know. Do you think it's fair assessment?
Well, it's as if anybody else asks you if you're funny. I mean,
no, I'm saying people are like, I want to try comedy. I want to be like you, which I don't know why anybody would want to be like me.
I would just say don't.
You really? Yeah, no, I don't want to squash anybody's
I'm
dreams.
Kidding.
Really? Because if somebody were to ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be Dark Mark.
Stop it.
I do.
Stop it.
I do.
No, let me, we were talking about your heroin past, and
yeah.
You'll have to listen to the show for that. But like I say, you think you had a tough childhood. You think you had a tough childhood. I know you think you had a tough childhood. My childhood was pretty good. You are the son of two deaf parents.
That is true, yes.
That's, so you got to see people arguing without a sound.
No, they scream hella loud because they don't know how loud they are when they're fighting. Like, they're extra loud.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, the whole neighborhood can hear them because they don't give a fuck. They don't care.
Really?
They can't hear themselves. They don't know how loud they are. Just like, fuck it! But it's all noise and shit, so it's just terrible.
No! Like that?
Yeah, like just like that, but like nonstop, really loud for like a long time.
Wow.
Because they're mad at each other. And on top of that, like when they talk, it's like, when they're mad, it's like very like it's almost violently talking, you know, because they're very expressionate.
Well, they're signing too.
Yeah, they're signing while they're talking. They're screaming at each other.
Yeah,
and it's like you're a fucking asshole. And like they're just
there's no silent like spelling around the kids.
No,
at that point.
No. Well, they didn't give a fuck anyway. My parents did drugs, so
how many? Well, we're gonna get to that too. But how many kids? How many siblings?
I have three brothers, two older and one younger.
Okay.
When you were a teenager, when you wanted to like say something to them, you really wanted to say something, did your hands ever trip you up? You know, like when you think faster than you can speak, like right now, Did you have the same problem when were you signing to them? Or
it's cute that you're signing as you're signing.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I blame it on the whiskey.
No.
Actually, up until before I started doing comedy, I actually had a really bad stutter. And wow. So my hands would stutter, too, when I would sign.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of that? I want to see what that looks like.
Well, like, if I was trying to, like, say, like, you're a motherfucker, I'd be like, you're a motherfucker.
Wow.
Wow. The hands would kind of
It has a lot up. Of intensity when you stutter and you sign.
Yeah, I was going to say. And that's got to be frustrating, stuttering while you're signing.
Just like it's frustrating while stuttering while you're talking.
Now, how'd you get over the stutter?
I took my brother's public speaking course.
Okay.
And
He taught it.
Yeah, my brother is a professional like teacher of like all these different kind of seminars and like self-help stuff.
Right.
And he was like, "Here, take my public speaking course, it'll help you." And so he roped me into it, and after I did it, I could my stutter went away and I could talk in front of people, and then I was like, "I'm doing comedy." And that's actually how I got into comedy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Two deaf parents. Now, are all your siblings, can they hear?
Yeah, all my brothers can hear. It's actually really rare for deaf people to have deaf children.
Okay.
Like 1 out of 10,000 deaf people have a deaf kid.
Okay. But I'm sure when you were a kid in school, you got teased for it.
I got teased more because my parents were like such bad drug addicts, they didn't take care of me.
Yeah.
And so like I was like the smelly kid and just like it was just a mess.
Oh.
So they were like
Were they into heroin? What were they into?
They smoked rocks. They were smoking
free. They were hardcore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they had a hard life too, you know.
How were they able to have to keep the four of you?
Nobody wants to take kids away from disabled people, turns out.
Right on.
Really?
Yeah.
You say right on, but it sounds like those.
Well, no, they
should have.
They just did a study where they were saying when they take children out of their, you know, out of their comfort zone, and then they put them into the foster care system. The ironic thing is they think they're doing the child a favor by removing them, but in reality, that's the comfort zone that they have. That's all that they know. And if you go and extract them, they end up having attachment issues and a whole range of things. So now, hopefully, they'll maybe take a look at it, reform it a little bit, maybe change it around.
Well, this is, I mean, I guess this is where political correctness in a way is not good. But I know foster care is awful, so.
Well, what's the alternative? You could go back to having orphanages again.
I had grandparents and aunts and uncles. Like, I had people they could have sent me to. They just, like, didn't bother.
Well, back then, too, like my grandfather tried to get custody of me, but he didn't have any rights when I was a little girl. And my biological father was the biggest cocaine dealer in Ketchikan, Alaska.
Oh, so you guys are bonding.
Yeah, I guess. And you used to go to Seattle and sell drugs and smuggle them up. And my mom was pregnant with me, so stick them in her belly.
You might know my dad.
I was going to say, your parents probably partied together.
Probably.
Did he know any deaf people?
Yeah, ask your dad if he knows everyone. Deaf Paul.
Well, he's dead now. Yeah. Yeah. I could ask my mom.
Ouija
she would know.
That shit. Yeah. Say, I'm like, you know Calvin?
This is why I do the show, these wonderful coincidences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awful. I mean, and the four of you must have felt powerless.
Well, yeah, as a kid, you always feel powerless, but the beautiful thing about all that stuff is that, you know, as an adult, I'm completely happy and normal normal as a comedian can be.
I was going to say, yeah. that's the thing. See, you're surrounded by comedians, and it's mm-hmm. very, yeah, none of us are screwed on right, but...
Yeah.
But, so, that's interesting. So, you were stuttering, and now you're doing comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever stuttered on stage? So I know I do sometimes. Once in a while.
I'm sure I have, but not like I used to.
Right.
You know? I'm usually pretty fluid because I'm...
From what I've seen, yeah. And when did you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. almost 6 years ago when I quit doing heroin. I moved to L.A. to quit doing drugs, which I know is insane. I know that's insane.
You moved to Hollywood to get away from drugs?
Not Hollywood. I moved to Topanga Canyon first.
You moved to Topanga Canyon to get away from drugs. You moved to the Valley, the San Fernando Valley, to get away from drugs.
That's right.
That didn't work out probably initially, I would think.
No, it worked out great.
Okay, but you were surrounded by drugs, though.
Yeah, but I took ayahuasca before I moved.
Oh, okay. All right.
Did you have your spiritual journey?
I tripped fucking balls.
Was there a vision quest?
I had visions. Oh, man. I was
Tell us about the visions.
I basically took like 6 times the dose I would have taken afterwards. Like, I didn't know how much to take, and I just kept taking it. And with like the shaman was like, yeah, just keep taking it, it's fine. And I all of a sudden, when it kicked in, I was like, holy shit, because I couldn't see. Like, I took off my glasses, put my glasses back on. Didn't make a difference. I couldn't see. Everything was just blurry. I closed my eyes, and it's like a kaleidoscope going on in front of me. And then, like, when I would be able to see something, it was like just very intense. Like, I could see like all the drugs coming out of me. Like, you just see like
wow,
these heroin needles and pills just floating out of me. And I was like,
heroin coming out of your ass, right? Or, here.
Well, that too, but
yeah,
I love how you're calling back to buttholes.
No, you'll have to listen. You'll have
He's
to listen.
Anal,
oh, I will.
You'll have to listen. And there was some butthole talk before, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, wow, that's what an experience.
Yeah, well. Goes to show you, if you really want to get
out
the drugs.
What do drugs look like when they're coming out of you? Going back to the film form? Is it...
This is during an ayahuasca trip, so it looked like I had like a giant like tunnel over me, like a tornado.
Right.
And like just shit was like just all of a sudden I'd see like a needle and a pill and like a needle and a pill and
oh,
like,
wow,
just kind of floating out of me. And I was like, this is fucked up shit right here.
Wow. I was tripping out that that Hannah accidentally did a vegan whip-it.
Yeah, I did.
Hang on a minute.
Accidentally.
Wait.
This is a good warning,
I know,
actually.
I got the accidentally part. What I got stuck on was a vegan whippet.
Hannah, explain.
Yeah,
so
please
Ready,
do.
Ready Whip came out with a line of coconut whipped cream and almond whipped cream, so I wanted to try it. And it doesn't...
When did this happen?
About a month ago. Yeah, the coconut's better than the almond.
Really?
But see, the consistency is so different, and it was cold, and it was kind of stuck.
I like that you went like this when you said consistency.
Mm-hmm. But I guess all of the whipped cream got stuck in the end, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm on the phone with somebody, and it was nothing but the gas, and all of a sudden it was gone, and it was still full, and I'm just like happy, and right. It was an accidental whippet.
All of a sudden, there's techno music.
You started giggling, and yeah.
I did start giggling, and I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, but at least there's no dairy.
Yeah, so you need to leave it out of the refrigerator for a good like 10 minutes so it can, melt a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because you guys have something in common. We were talking about this. I was talking about this with both of you.
Oh, yes, we do.
Because I was telling you where the studio was, and it's right across from the Thai restaurant Toy in Hollywood.
Toy, which I believe I said last night, is the worst place to go on a date ever. Anytime you go on a date to Toy, never works out.
Really?
Yeah,
no, never. It's cursed.
Several first dates there, but the last one was the Manson family thing, and yeah.
Well, what's a Manson family?
The Manson
thing?
Family thing.
Yeah, yeah. I just happened to be me and Squeaky Fromm were hanging out. What you,
like you do.
What
it's
are you
the reason
about?
I like got off my Tinder.
What's the Manson? Explain
okay,
the Manson
so,
family.
Okay, so what happened was this guy kept bothering me. Got a hold of me on Instagram. I was like, all right, I'll meet you. Halfway to the restaurant, he called me. He's like, hey, can I bring my kids? And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, no, they're like, not my kids, but they're like, my kids, like, I take care of him, and his girlfriend are going to come, and I'm halfway there. And I'm like, okay. I get there, I'm waiting outside, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I made a whole Snapchat video about this. I'm like, this is some Charles Manson shit I'm walking into. I pull over, I get outside Toy, and up pulls this big white van. I'm like, fuck.
Big white van's always a no-no.
He gets out.
Did it have windows?
A couple in the front, not in the back.
That's the windowless white van that they always warn you'd stranger danger.
Yep. Right.
There are no puppies or candy in that van.
Oh, there was a puppy.
Really?
So he opens up the door and he's like, this is my house. And it reeked. And two kids, one like had like almost no teeth. They pop out of the back all still and like, hey. And then there's like, this is my dog.
That kind of sounds like Jonathan and his brothers.
Yeah. I was like, I want to get out of here.
Oh, I'm kidding, of course.
So we
had? Oh, you have
you
teeth
do have nice
yes,
teeth.
Yes, yes, nice teeth. Let's see that again.
For the record, he has teeth.
He has teeth. Yes. Jonathan David
Most
has teeth. We all have teeth in here.
We do.
So go right ahead.
And we're in a little dress. I'm like, don't pick the table that you sit down on the floor, right? Because I have a thong and a little dress on. He picks the table. It's on the floor with these two kids. Kicks off his shoes. And they're like, you can't do that here. You need to put your shoes on. He still wouldn't put them on. He sits down and orders one plate of curry for four people. I'm not eating it. I'm in the corner just very uncomfortable. And they call him Daddy. And serving him. Yes, Daddy. And they're talking about all this weird sex stuff. I'm uncomfortable.
So these are not children. These are adults.
These were adults, yeah. And it was just weird. He kept talking about sex stuff. I kept telling him I was uncomfortable. I kept getting in the corner. He kept trying to rub my back.
This is about the time when, about 20 minutes after, I would say, I'm going to leave right now.
I kept trying to think about how I wanted to bolt, but I'm like, what if they follow me?
Or the somebody pulled this on me. I'm going to go to the bathroom and never came back. You can do that.
I couldn't slip out the back. Right. I had to go out like that way.
There's like no back exit.
There's
to
not.
Toy.
Right, there really right. needs to be one.
No, because they should know that this is a problem.
They
that people
do.
People use toy as a place to meet up with questionable people that they really don't
like. That's what it's there for.
Well, then
everybody
they
knows about
have,
toy.
They should have a rear emergency exit, if they're for nothing else.
Yeah, they probably do. So, mm-hmm. so how did the date end?
So we were outside, and he grabs me and tries to kiss me. And I didn't realize how tough I am from working out. I got him, and I blocked him. I said, I don't do that. And then he kept trying to bother me. I blocked him on Instagram. They messaged me from a couple different accounts. And I was like, oh, fuck. But I waited for them to leave, and then I went back in, and I told the waitress what happened, and I ordered myself some food and went home.
Yeah, I was going to say, he bought you a quarter of
curry. He didn't buy me any. I didn't touch anything. No, I was like, I don't know if you guys washed your hands or what.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they had that weird smell.
Even though he wasn't the one making the food, but you're like, no, I don't,
exactly.
whatever it is, I don't want to catch the cooties.
Like, you're hovering over, and they kept calling him Daddy, and I was like,
hi, Daddy.
Isn't that what they called R. Kelly?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's some fucking sex cult shit right
there. He's probably peeing on them right now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. And I told Mark, too, so it took me a while to, like, get the story out.
Hopefully just peeing on them.
Yeah. You never know with R. Kelly.
What happened with yours?
No, it wasn't nearly that exciting. Oh, my goodness.
I start telling this.
First off, not to disappoint anybody, but nobody's really trying to hit me up on Instagram or anything like that, so I don't really have to worry about, like...
We were talking about that, too, because your Instagram game needs
a little
work. Well,
I'll get, like, hate mail more than I get, like, hey. Like, every once in a while, you get, like, a random dick pic, but, I mean, you know how it is.
What hate mail?
All the time.
Who hates you?
Oh, I get, like... random hate mail from, usually it's like elderly women for some reason. I try to figure out
so
why
odd.
I'm getting all caps for no reason.
Why are these elderly women having Instagrams?
Well, I was kind of curious as to like who let her out of her straitjacket, but
literally think it was an account for a rotten kitty.
I don't know, but I did find out that there is somebody impersonating me and their account is... It seems like it's way more interesting than mine. At this point, I was like, well, they kind of took my whole thing, and I think it's somebody that I know from, like, MySpace days, but I don't want to say anything because, you know, do you?
That's where all the cool pictures are.
They're putting stuff up. I'm like, I never have a reception, so.
Right.
So at that point, you really do have to come see me live. I'm much better live than on...
So what happened with the toy days?
It wasn't that exciting. It was like another comedian that was...
See that? Yeah. I know.
But this...
Name names.
Oh, I think it was Alex or... I don't know. I've tried to... I just call him the dude with the bad breath.
Right.
Ooh, at toy?
Well,
and you could smell that?
Oh, you could smell it?
Over the curry?
You could feel it?
Oh. Yeah, when you're...
I was like wearing it after a while.
Oh, now, when you say bad breath...
How bad?
Is it like garlic breath, onion breath, or shit breath?
Butt breath.
Butt breath.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without hesitation.
Right.
Butt breath.
Right.
It was really awkward, and there wasn't anything wrong with him, but all he wanted to do was talk about how funny he was. He wasn't funny. That's so weird when somebody's like, no, I am so hilarious. Let me tell you how I'm like, are you a salesperson or are you a comedian?
I've seen your comedy.
Oh my God, I ain't seen shit. It was painful. But he kept trying to pitch me his t-shirt ideas, which was awkward and uncomfortable. And then partway through...
What was one of the ideas?
One of them, which I didn't mind so badly, was... sadism is just another way of saying you're not sorry. And I was like, well, maybe we could finesse that a bit.
Yeah, that needs a little finesse.
It was too wordy. And then he had a bunch of them that were like, no. But I'm sure he's got a burgeoning t-shirt company somewhere over the rainbow. I don't know.
By the way, speaking of that, if you go to www.smyrnx.com, smyrnx.com. You can order the shirt that I designed.
Oh,
for a contest,
good tie-in.
Which is which says I'll bring one in next week. It says I super liked you by mistake in Tinder font. So
that's a thing.
That happens to me all the time.
And, no. I entered a contest to get free merchandise, and that's what I
works.
And I won. That's better than sadism, is never having to say you're sorry.
Sadism is just another way of not having to say you're sorry. I'm like, wow, that's so many words.
So, I'm waiting for when Shitbreast tries to kiss you.
No. You can keep waiting. It didn't happen.
He didn't try?
No, it was like a no-go zone.
And he took the hint.
Oh, no, he didn't take the hint. I was very polite, and I think I came up with the best I could at the time. I had so little dating experience, and the only thing I'd say is, I really have to go home to check on my father. And he's like, what's wrong with your father? I'm like, I don't know. That's why I have to go home and check on him.
That's funny.
It was the only thing I could think of.
That's a good one, though.
But it works.
I use grandpa all the time.
Who's going to ask?
Right?
I mean, really, if they do, first off, you're kind of an asshole.
Right.
Because,
right.
Like, who are you to kind of judge, like, what my non-excuse is? I just want to go home.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to watch you eat. I'm really uncomfortable.
Was he a gross eater?
He was. He was like the open mouth. It wasn't just the open mouth. It was the food falling out.
Oh!
The open mouth. Yes.
Well, because the mouth opened.
It was so open you could catch flies.
Right.
It was bad.
Did you just stop?
Well, he has to air out the butthole breath, so.
True. Yes.
So Thai food and shit is just
while he's he's saying, okay, and here's another great t-shirt idea, and I'm like,
I'm so funny.
Yeah, it was bad.
Have you had bad eaters, Hannah?
Yes.
What's an example of bad eaters?
Slurping your food.
Ugh. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You see me eat. It's okay.
Yeah, all you're right? fine. You don't bother me. I don't even notice.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. No, you were. I was saying this is why I don't date comedians. But you seem to disagree, Jonathan. You've dated comedians?
No, I mean, kind of. Yeah, I mean, not really. But
just the ones that weren't funny.
I'm polyamorous, so like.
Oh really? Do tell.
Yeah. So like.
So anybody gets in line, you're all for it.
If it's a comedian who's polyamorous, you know, like that's not like the everyday thing. And I've met a couple of unicorns, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
I should have you name names on that. So.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. But yeah, so that's but. So it works out because I don't know. I've always and there's comedians that go out with there. I know that are couples that do very well. But I dated a couple comedians. It's just too much ego and too much competition, I think.
Well, first off, you have to make sure that they're funny, and then also that they're not going to ruin your career if something goes sour.
Yeah.
You know, because we got such burgeoning careers, but actually yours is just about to explode because your one man show is just about to hit the Hollywood Fringe Festival, but.
Well, we'll see what happens, but, you know,
okay. No, the Hollywood Fringe Festival, let me tell all you guys in the studio, because I performed at the first annual.
The anal.
I was going to say, as opposed to the anal.
As opposed to the anal.
Cheers.
Hollywood Fringe Festival in 2010, got a rave review in the LA Weekly and Backstage Magazine. I performed 3 times. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm.
They have parties.
Yep.
They have shows just nonstop all over Hollywood.
Yeah, it's fun.
And your show Signs.
Yes, right.
Will be and what are the dates for Signs and where is it playing at?
It's at the Broadwater Second Stage. The first show is June 8th and it'll be running until June 29th.
Right, and you have a website, JonathanDavidSigns.
That's right. JonathanDavidSigns.com.
Right. Can we get tickets on that website?
You can get tickets on that.
I want all of us to go. And check it out. We'll figure
Field
out a
trip.
Day we're all
yeah.
We'll figure out a day we're all there because I'm curious because I've done one man shows and it's what was your process of writing? Now you're stand up and this is why I like you. So you really talk about your life and you really delve deep into your life, and I think it's a lost art these days. I think a lot of comedy needs more angst and needs more reality.
Mm-hmm. So I've been working on family material for a long time,
mm-hmm.
since I started doing comedy. So I took all of my family material and put it into the show. And then because it's a one-man show and not like just a basic comedy show, I can do darker bits. So I talk about, I do bits about my mom being a paranoid schizophrenic and deaf. I do bits about like my parents' drug issues, like in depth.
Were her like hands like fighting with each other?
did she actually hear voices?
No, well, that's one of the jokes in there, is that my mom's deaf and schizophrenic, so she can't hear the voices in her head.
That's awesome. I love it.
So
that's killer awesome.
But no, my mom like would see things that weren't there. Like she would see like demons and shit like that, and she'd like tell me like there's demons outside. You're gonna get eaten by the demons like all the time. After a while, you're just like, Mom, come on.
And she was high when she was saying this.
Yeah, she's smoking rocks, man.
So it's like it's almost the same as, no, I swear there's a monster under my bed. She goes, right, there's a demon in the corner.
Right. It's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely a monster under your bed. I see him, too.
Well, so who would come and flush out the monsters at night?
She'd tell me to go hide in the closet.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a monster there. They go hide underneath the sink.
She's like, you can hide. Don't worry about the monster under the bed. You can hide with the demon in the closet.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
I got rocks to smoke. I don't got time for you. This is
So, and you're going to have somebody signing as you're talking, is that
right? Yeah, I have an interpreter the entire time.
Yeah, I in Vegas, I did a show with an interpreter once.
Yeah.
And you know how filthy my act is. There was a lot of words I didn't know that they actually had signs for.
Like what?
I don't know.
Everything.
Shit I was talking about. Yeah, no, I was talking about, you know.
I talk about it a little bit in the show.
S&M and just, you know, fucking that's everything, yeah.
I do a little bit of why I love sign language so much in the show, like mm-hmm. and talk about different signs that I love. Right. One sign that I don't talk about, and I probably should, is one of my favorite signs is the sign for whore.
What's the sign for whore?
You put your hand, you make a W,
okay,
and you put it out to the side, uh-huh. And you're like a whore walking the track, and go, hey boys, how's it going?
Oh, I think I've seen that before.
Is that, you're not making that up? That's real.
That's 100% real.
Wow.
So now I know what those school children were trying to tell.
That's right. That's right.
That's so cool.
Yes.
I had a hearing impaired friend. I don't know why I'm pointing at you while I say that. That's incredibly rude.
Not rude in sign language at all.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I had a hearing impaired friend. I would like to reconnect with her. Rachel, if you're out there. And we used to sign from across the classroom. It would really piss off the teachers because they'd say, you can't, you know, pass notes and you can't talk during class. And so we would sign. And the only thing we knew how to do were like, you know, a few words like candle or pretty and we could do the alphabet.
That's pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh.
I don't know. Is it? Am I remembering this correctly?
It's both.
Okay, cool. Okay. Aloha.
Right.
But yeah, we would painstakingly.
As I give you the whore sign.
Yeah, I know. Whore.
It's a beautiful
Hi,
whore.
Mark. I'm going to do that every time I see you.
Now you know how to say beautiful whore, everybody.
I will. Beautiful whore. See, it's an educational show
is,
as well.
It
really is.
Yes. You didn't think, people that thought, didn't think they wanted to tune in. And by the way, the ones that are listening to this on Renegade Radio are like, what the fuck are you guys
they
doing?
They have no idea. They're like, yeah. What are they doing? Wait. We're taking our three W fingers, like as yeah. if you were going to hold yeah. up the number.
It's the Boy Scout, like, free.
Is it the Boy Scout? I thought the Boy Scouts were together, no?
Yeah.
The Boy Scouts are together, but you split them
out. Do the Boy
out.
Scouts together, then separate it out so you can get a little W.
Right.
And then you put it out to the side.
You go, hey.
And then you shake it back and forth. Yes,
you're like a
Yeah, you put your left.
Yeah.
Does it matter if it's the right or left side?
No, it doesn't matter, because there's, like, one-handed deaf people and stuff.
I'm left-handed.
Oh, I love the idea of the one-handed. How do they sign candle and stuff if you're one-handed?
You would just do one hand. So, like, instead of, like, this is sign for candle, you just go candle, like one candle.
And the other person's just supposed to be understanding. They can't be like, no, that's, you're not pronouncing that.
So you
right.
understand, asshole.
So wait, so you sign with a one-armed deaf person?
Well, no, I sign with one-handed all the time, because how am I supposed to sign and drink at the same time?
Smart.
Yeah.
See this? That's why, like, he has the one
in your drink
signs.
And you're just like, hi, Mom, you're a bitch.
Yeah, how did she sign with smoking rocks? That's, you got to have both hands for that.
She's got one.
Bitch is pretty close to thank you.
She's got the mouth on the pipe and then one hand on the lighter and one hand going, shut up, I'm busy.
Wait, bitch and thank you are very close?
Well, I could be wrong.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this is bitch. And this is bastard.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're so close. I'm totally going to screw that up. I used to. I really wanted to learn how to be a sign language interpreter, but my.
It's never too late.
You know what? I'm definitely thinking about it now that you gave me the idea. I was like, oh, I could always go back to college and learn something useful.
Yeah.
Because the only reason I hadn't is my father's going hearing impaired, but he's in denial about it. He's mm-hmm. just old and cranky. It's not like anything you'd be like, oh. No, he's just an asshole. So
what? What?
Makes
what?
You repeat
what?
Everything.
Yes. Asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I will be using around the house.
You're not asshole. Talking clearly. Asshole. Speak
yeah.
up.
Right.
Yeah, his eyes are going, his ears are going, and I said, well, what if we we learn sign language together, or I could read you the new Bob Woodward book, or I, you know, I'm trying to find different ways to
keep
them
engaged. Wow, that's just what I wanted. That's what I want signed to me, but the new Bob Woodward.
Well, no, I figured I would read it to him while he could, you know, read it really, really loudly.
Just but do, do that asshole sign again.
Asshole.
Trump. Trump.
That's let's rebrand.
Trump is the book. That's Bob Woodward.
I think the sign for Trump is like you do a hair thing.
That's awesome.
And you go asshole.
Right.
I used to have there was one child in one of the I was going to say the camps the summer camps that I'd worked with who was hearing impaired, and she told me that, you know, this means weirdo. So she would say...
Why would she say that to
that's
you?
That's Little Bunny Foo Foo.
Well, it should be Little Bunny Foo Foo bopping on the head.
Why would she tell you what the sign for weirdo is?
Because I'd asked her. Because
you're a weirdo.
Because I have the mind of a child. So when we were sitting there, we were like, oh, so what's weirdo? And she goes, oh, this is weird or weirdo. And I said, okay. So she's like, I'm going to give you a name. And before she knew me, it was K. So it was Kitty for long haired kitty.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. And then by the end of the trip, it was a week long camp, and by the end of the trip she was like, no, you're weirdo. You're Kitty the weirdo. Instead of beautiful princess hair, it turned into Kitty the weirdo.
Well, you could be both.
Yeah, I know, but now I'm just, hey.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just listening, you take your three fingers, you put them out. You wag them all about.
Except if you got shit breath and ate with your mouth open.
No, I'm going home.
So when did you first do comedy? Because when I left, and you were on our show way back when, 2015,
was
when
that,
I had my last show.
I think I was in kindergarten back then.
I was trying, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was trying to get you on the show for a long time. Finally, because you were giving away Hosico tickets.
Yeah, Ozzy. It was actually DJ Darkstar and I came to promote the Hosico show.
Hosico show.
That was
and they called in, and it was my last show before I moved to New Orleans.
I think one of them called from Germany and the other one called from Mexico.
Right. We had quite a lineup in the show, and I've already told the story about how Ross Jeffries was on his hands and knees begging you to go.
But you already told that
to
story.
A synagogue. I've told it before, but I've told that Ross Jeffries was the. He started the pickup artist thing. He started like in the 80s.
It was like before that mystery guy.
Before mystery, before the game, before any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And we had him on the show with you. And like there was like 10 people in the studio. We had a guy that lit his hand on fire, a breathing fire.
He lit my hand on fire.
He lit your hand on fire.
It was really cool.
It was a good show. It's in the YouTube archives. So this guy's the top pickup artist. And Kitty, as she's been doing on the show, very funny. Very charming. And every time you would say something, he'd be like, who said that? Who said that? Who said that? And
I was hiding.
And he was so charmed by you that he...
Which I thought he was joking. I really genuinely thought he was joking.
Yes. The man who's been picking up girls since the 80s was on his hands and knees begging you to go to synagogue with him for something.
Well, no. It was. I think it was just he wanted... For me to basically be his prop to offend his parents. He's like, this is my new...
Is that what it is? You're the shiksa?
I think I was going to be like the disappointment for the parents around a holiday or something high and holy and disappointing.
Right.
I think he was more interested romantically in the other available women there. I think with me it was whore. Oh, whore! We all bringing it back.
I don't think so. I don't think so. He was.
He never called me after that evening.
Yeah. Well.
Well, he's a pickup artist.
He
doesn't do
that. Pick you up. You failed.
He didn't pick me up.
He failed.
No, but he did try.
Yeah.
So a for effort.
Is that? I think begging on your hands and knees is not a good technique.
Well, he could have also been looking for loose change. I don't know.
That's true.
That's a fail, too.
You always wear pants, so he wasn't looking up your dress.
No.
You said he was Jewish, so looking on your hands and knees for change is, you know.
That's terrible.
As a Jew, just saying, we know who we are.
Yes, Kitty dropped a quarter. We heard the joke. But anyway.
Never drop a quarter.
At that point, you had not done comedy, as far as I know.
Up until then, I was just doing hosting, really, but...
Right, you've hosted, you've done burlesque.
Yeah, and every once in a while, when I would host, every once in a while you'd do some crowd work and people would giggle and you'd just keep doing it. And then after a while, people assumed I was a comic because I was funny when I was hosting. So they're like, oh, yeah, it all makes sense. You should be able to host and do comedy. If you can't, there's something wrong with you. So I just kind of... I started getting invited to either do private parties or, you know, perform with burlesque troupes, and I never said I wasn't. So when they would hire mm-hmm. me and they were offering money, never turn down a paid gig, kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Do not turn down. Yeah. So yeah. I figured, okay, well, I'm starting to get paid to do comedy. I guess I shouldn't be embarrassed if somebody says, oh,
are you a comedian?
You can honestly right. say yeah. But for years, I was really uncomfortable mm-hmm. admitting. Yeah. It was like somebody asking, do you rollerblade? You know, it was, I didn't know how to respond and still have any being taken seriously. Because the first thing they do is, oh, just another woman comic. Okay, well, what do you really do? I'm like, well, no, Jesus. For a while, that was paying my bills. So I was really happy.
Right.
So,
well, trust me, that makes you more successful than 99% of the comics in L.A.
I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea. That when I, you know, people would ask me, so when do you do comedy? Where do you do it? Have you ever been paid? I was like, actually, I you know, I've been really lucky. I've only mm-hmm. only been invited places. So it was, you know, I'd never done an open mic. I'd never just kind of like, you know, I'm very shy. So I would.
We can tell.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's like, this is a safe zone. Yes. Yeah. This is a safe zone.
Yes, it's a safe zone for whores. Like
it that. Is. It is. It is. But, it took a while to get comfortable with the idea. Now, at least, if somebody says, oh, you know, are you an actor? I can say, no, I'm a comedian. And
but
it doesn't feel
But you've
odd.
Acted, too.
I have, yeah. But I'm not like, you know, I don't have like an agent and go on, yeah. you know, auditions unless somebody is auditioning yes. and they want to offer me. So I'm
agents,
always
in the audience.
I'm always available for right. a paid gig.
She is a whore. So.
I am.
But you, because that's
so
the thing.
Bad.
I,
this is going to come back and bite me in the ass. Bringing it back to anal.
All right.
I know. I did my show, and you're like, well, how come you didn't book me? I'm like, I didn't know you were a fucking comedian. I should have known. First off. Like I say, everybody's doing comedy now. My dry cleaner does comedy. Everybody does comedy. But you are actually funny. 99 out of 100 people, I'd say.
No, you're just saying.
No, 99 out of 100 people that say I'm doing comedy. I'm like, yeah. Like you said, don't, or are you funny? You, I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Mark had put me on the spot last night. He was talking up a storm, said these nice things to these nice gentlemen about me, and I thought, oh, I'd better not disappoint Mr. Mark. I better not disappoint him.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
It's going to be really embarrassing.
You could never disappoint me, and you know that.
Yes, I could.
No, you could not.
I so could.
When you had your store, we would walk in. I just want to say,
I should pour some out for dead store.
Yeah, we would talk for
what
hours.
What kind of store was this?
Subculture clothing accessories. Goth. It was called Fatal Impact.
Mm-hmm. Our first sponsor of the podcast.
Was it the first? Yeah.
But that was way back in 2013. But
I was in kindergarten back then.
Yes, you were. No, you were in preschool at the time.
Yes.
And we would just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
We would.
I've got so many tickets. Because I would be
I'd
lost
remind
in
you, I'd tell you, I'm like, go out there not playing. The parking enforcement will get you. It was on Ventura Boulevard, so they were not playing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But so now you're a comic, and now we're going to get you gigs, and we're going to get you.
Yeah.
And I want to see the act, but I'm going to book you on my show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss your show at the Van Nuys Comedy Club.
Yeah, apparently I will be performing at the Van Nuys Comedy Club.
You mean the Springbok?
At the Springbok on the 25th.
Oh, this is who she was trying to impress, so it's a very low.
I was told, this is your shot. You want your shot? This is your big shot.
Billy Bat said that to you?
It was like Eminem, yes.
Yeah.
You only get one shot, yeah.
But I, you
but
know,
it should be
it's
a fun
not
show.
Your one shot.
It's okay. You know what? I made sure I bowed and I showed appreciation and
like if that was
yes, sir, absolutely.
Like if that was a cum shot, I would dodge it.
You want to know something? I thought it was being so professional when I extended my hand to shake his hand to say goodbye, and he had extended his arm out like for a hug, and I was like, "Am I supposed to come in for a hug?" Because it's like super weird if somebody tries to hug you, but you don't. Know that they're trying to hug you, but you go in for a hug, but they weren't expecting a hug, and then like, what the hell are you doing? So I didn't want that moment,
right.
But at the same time, it was like, I extended my hand, and he whispers, he goes, come here. I'm like, oh, okay, come in for the hug. And he was so sweet, and he goes, why would you extend your hand? Like, I'm going to shake your hand or something? I'm like, what, you wanted me to whip out my dick? That's awkward.
Knowing Billy Bats, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well,
he would love that, though.
He was so sweet. He goes, do you have a dick? And I was like, well, you could come see on Saturday night.
You
but
totally
he's not going
to
be there on
dick.
Saturday night.
Right. Anyway, but you saw me perform there last night.
I did. It was a fun fabulous show.
And you're going to have a fun time.
Which I was going to say, my favorite joke from the girl with white skin bit is the handprint.
Yes.
I love the handprint.
The handprint is great.
Keep the handprint.
I'm keeping the handprint. Anyway, Jonathan, you have a show.
That's right.
Thursday nights, the Corbin Bowl.
Oh, that's a mic. Yeah, we're supposed to go there from here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, what was the first time you went on stage? Where was that, and what was that like?
The very first time I did comedy on stage?
Yes.
I was at Expression Mondays. It was a mixed mic in Santa Monica.
Like mixed like poets and musicians?
Yeah.
And homeless people. And
I told a bunch of stupid one-liners. And I was like so nervous. I was sweating buckets.
Yeah.
And people laughed. People laughed at my stupid jokes.
And they're still doing it.
They're still laughing at my stupid jokes. I don't do most of those jokes anymore.
Well, I would hope not.
So where are you going after this? You said you're going to be performing at the Corbin Bowl?
Yeah, so Ryan Talmo and I host an open mic at the Corbin Bowl in Tarzana.
Right.
Ah.
Right across the street from the legendary Cadillac building there.
It's where I spend a lot of nights singing karaoke because my ex-girlfriend wanted to go there every single week to do karaoke, and it was the worst.
Mm.
I can't... If I go to karaoke and somebody starts, I start hearing the opening to Bohemian Rhapsody, I got to leave.
What kind of monster does Bohemian Rhapsody? It's like a 7-minute song.
Everybody does Bohemian Rhapsody.
You know what? That is your one time to shine during the week.
Your song is longer than 4 minutes. You're a piece of shit.
Not only that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Not only that.
Cheers. Yes. Yep. Agreed. You know
not only that, Meatloaf a lot.
What?
Paradise by the Dashboard Light, which is about 10 minutes long.
Mm. You're a piece of shit. No.
Well, yeah, I am a piece of shit. But anyway.
Not you. I mean, anybody who sings that.
I like that you looked at me when you were saying that you're a piece of shit, but you were directing it to the person.
Could you sign I'm a piece of shit?
You're a part of shit.
Oh, I like that.
And Meet the Fockers, they're like, the sign for poop is like this. This is not poop. This is shit. This is poo-poo.
Ah, so
like, you wouldn't teach a little child shit. Like that's not something you would teach them. Just like in fucking Jerry Maguire, when they like watch the deaf couple sign to each other, and he goes like, "What did he say to her?" And she goes, "Oh, he said you complete me." He did not say you complete me. He did not say that at all. He goes, "You make me feel great." That's what he fucking said. And I'm like, "That's so fucking stupid."
Now you're gonna tell me the Happy Days, the Happy Born Days is incorrect.
Everything you know is a lie. I'm bursting
really?
All your bubbles. Just like
Fonzie got the sign language wrong?
I don't know. I didn't see that episode.
Okay.
And Fonzie didn't really jump a shark. That was not a real shark.
Oh, you're crushing all my dreams. Jonathan David, where does the time go?
Bursting Mark's bubble.
We're bursting his bubble like somebody's podcast.
Yeah, watch that podcast.
Yeah, no, it's a good podcast. But I'm looking forward to seeing your show because I've seen your comedy. And as I said, you take the pain in your life. You take the struggles. You take the silence and the loudness, and you give comedy something it really needs, which is angst, which is truth. And signs, tell everybody about the show once again and where it's going to be.
You can check out the show. You can get tickets at jonathandavidsigns.com. That's jonathandavidsigns.com. And the first show is June 8th at the Broadwater Theater Second Stage.
Right.
You can't bring drinks into the theater, so you got to buy them at the bar next door, at the Broadwater bar.
Or get a mini flask and put it in your
That's what's
boot.
Great about the Fringe
Sneak
Festival.
Sneak your own booze in. Sneak your own booze
that's
in.
That's what's great about the Fringe Festivals. There's booze all around.
You can also buy the tickets from the Hollywood Fringe website. Mm-hmm.
Which I believe is... HFF2019.com.
Yes, but can we purchase them through your site so you get credit?
Either way, I'll get
money. He gets money either way.
Good.
He gets money either way.
I'm going to get my money either way. I'm going to rub it all over my body.
Is there going to be nudity in the show? Is that what's going to happen?
I hope so.
No, he's going to be covered in money.
I'm going to be covered in your money. I'm going to take all the money. Take all the money you guys gave me. Like, this is the whole show. Just, your money.
Do a live stream on
you know
that.
What? I would pay to see that.
Yeah, I'm just going
to
rub myself down in Crisco beforehand and come on stage and just rub all the money off.
Are you hairy? Because Brent's kind of getting excited.
No, I am. I told you. I'm as bald as a baby
Brent,
seal.
Do you want to be the Crisco rubber?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
It's kind of like a fluffer, but you know, just rub Crisco.
Would you rub Crisco, Brent? Would you rub Crisco on his body?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So down.
Okay.
You want Crisco or baby oil?
Both.
Yeah. You got to start with baby oil, and then you get the Crisco. But wait a second. Is Crisco vegan?
No.
No, you got to rub them down with vegan. You got to rub them down with like your vegetable oil.
How's vegetable oil?
Coconut
not vegan?
Oil.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil is better. I mean, that's why I use that for lube. So.
Do you
all
really?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You use coconut oil for lube?
Hell yeah, it's a good natural lube.
Is it
really?
Antibacterial,
it really is. Antifungal.
Yeah. I've never
wait,
used
wait,
it.
Wait a second.
I've read about it.
I read about it.
All right, all the men, just go home and rub one out with some coconut oil, and you'll see the difference, you know?
Well,
take the Pepsi challenge.
See, I imagine it's probably meant, like, easier anal. For a man to
oh, yeah,
try
for
that.
For anal, for vaginal, for jerking.
And it smells like a piña colada when you're done.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And like yeah. I said, it's antifungal, antibacterial,
like
so you're actually kind of cleaning your dick while you're jerking.
Well, actually, well, see, I do it dry, but that's a whole other story.
What kind of monster are you?
All right, Brett and I are down with this. But the thing is, and we got to go, but you fucking a girl in the ass with coconut oil makes her ass smell better than the guy that you had a date with.
Probably.
His breath.
Yes. Yeah, because that would be coconut butt breath instead of just butt breath.
Right. Hannah, didn't I tell you you would love Rotten Kitty?
Yes.
Rotten Kitty, tell everybody how we can get a hold of you and tell us about your show at the Van Nuys Comedy Club.
You can likely follow me at Rotten Kitty on
yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on the MySpace. I don't even think that's a thing anymore.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it really? I have no idea how to get back into that.
There's a login, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, whatever.
Those were the days. That's when it was fun.
Top 8.
I miss the top 8. I miss feeling the personal rejection from people you actually know in real life.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah, cool.
Welcome to comedy. You'll get that on a daily basis.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, we'll see. And hopefully I won't disappoint on the 25th. I think it's a Saturday.
Saturday the 25th.
It is
at
free.
The Van Nuys Comedy Club.
It is free. Free, 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 free.
Mm-hmm.
But you can always tip me.
I'll come and watch you.
You can come. You can watch me. You can come and watch me.
I'll do both.
Just make sure you got coconut oil. Brent, thank you for being with us. Have fun working in the porn place, and
yes.
And I hope you get a hairy man very soon. And Hannah.
Yes.
Hail Hannah.
I'm Hail Hannah Bach, B-A-K-K, 666 on Instagram.
How fun was the show?
It was a lot of fucking fun.
And goth comedian on all social media, everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week, and happy birthday again, Morgan.
Happy birthday, Morgan.
Happy birthday, Morgan.
Happy birthday, Morgan.